This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodi. It's our Health and Living segment. Today we're going to be discussing osteoarthritis. Now, when you say osteoarthritis, you always you relate that to the elderly because it's seen as it's wear and tear of the cartilage in your joints. And what's happening is it's a degenerative condition. When your cartilage, it cushions and protects your joints. So when that wears off, then you start to have pain and there's a chance you actually have osteoarthritis. But I think what's a little alarming is, and this is based on also a study in the UK where I was reading over the last 5 years, there's been a deeply alarming, statistics to show, and there's a significant increase in high impact chronic pain in young adults. And these are people between the ages of 16 and 34. It is terribly young. So we're going to try and understand what osteoarthritis is and how that affects the young adults. And joining me today, that's Dr. Badrul Shah Badaruddin. He's a consultant orthopedic surgeon from Ulti Orthopedic Hospital. If you're wondering what that is, Ulti is adding life to years, and that's what it stands for. Welcome to the show, Dr. Badrul. How are you today?
Thank you, Mira. I'm glad to be in the show after many years of following you in the radio.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to help you. Have you? You should have written to us, and we would have put you on anyway in the past. But anyway, welcome, and it's great to have you on. It's an interesting topic. But do you want to just kick off the show with, explaining to us what osteoarthritis actually means?
Well, you said it right. Osteoarthritis is basically a degenerative process when the cushion of the joint become softened and the and wear and tear. So as a result, inflammation comes out and a patient will have pain. And once the cartilage been eroded, the joint deformed. And this is where many patients will come and see me in the clinic or see doctors in the clinic. Mm-hmm.
And so, it is the most common form of arthritis, am I correct?
Yes. Not in the young, though, but it is, as you said, it has becoming more prevalent now. It used to be inflammatory arthritis that caused this disease. I mean, still is the disease of osteoarthritis in the young. But this autoimmune disease or the inflammatory arthritis usually affects the young because it could be familial, it could be genetic, and because of the autoimmune disease, they will become a secondary osteoarthritis. So, of course, the autoimmune disease like rheumatoid arthritis, they will go and see a rheumatologist first. But when they develop into a stage 4 osteoarthritis, they come and see orthopedic surgeons.
Okay. So when you say inflammatory, you're talking about autoimmune, meaning rheumatoid arthritis, for an example?
There are so many. One of the more common ones is, of course, rheumatoid arthritis.
So osteoarthritis is not. And always we think about it, in relation to wear and tear. But how are young people wearing and tearing the joints when they're so young? You always think of these issues when you are much older. So what's going on with the younger people?
Okay. Nowadays, right, when a lot of us are more becoming very active, very, sporting, so they tend to start all the extreme activities very young. And because of this, they may get some injuries, right? And at a very young age. So this injury will cause wear and tear of the cartilage. And at the same time, as they grow older, they become heavier. What more if someone is already on the high weight, the weight is high, and because of this overweight, you can also get the degeneration of your joint much earlier.
Mm-hmm. So it's a double whammy, isn't it? I mean, we have a huge obesity problem in this country, and it's getting younger and younger. We know that, right? So do you see many people coming in with osteoarthritis, younger people, because of that? Is it mostly because of weight issues or because of people just being terribly, more athletic today?
What? You said it again. One is more athletic today. And one is, a lot of us are eating a lot of, I don't want to say junk food, but to be honest, it is. And a lot of us, the youngsters, are becoming more overweight or obese. So these two issues actually are the main issues for them to have early osteoarthritis. The other is, of course, pre-existing issues like, for instance, in the knee or in the hip, a lot of patients that need joint replacement early are those people who has congenital issues like hip dysplasia. Hip dysplasia means the hip is not in correct position. It's lots a little bit when the patient was a baby. So there's a very famous athlete, if you remember, Mary Lou Retton.
Oh, yes.
Yes. She is a gymnast who scored perfect 10 in one of the Olympics. She had a hip replacement when she's 30-something, 34, 35. So because she had, not because she's very active, but because she already have a, what we call a hip dysplasia. It's a congenital problem of the hip. So if you see a young person who have an arthritis, usually they will have either congenital issues, very active, or obesity.
That's so interesting. I mean, she went on to be such a prominent gymnast. Do you think that hip dysplasia worked to her advantage? I mean, I have to ask this question because usually you would think a congenital issue would work to your disadvantage instead.
Well, again, yeah, I think maybe it's just come to me whether the hip dysplasia caused her a very good gymnast.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I do not think so. But it certainly caused her to have more hip pain later on after after her active life during the gymnastic years. But then she become a mom or something like that. She become the normal person, and she has all this pain due to osteoarthritis, and she has probably more bad days than good days. And at the end of the day, she says she can't wait anymore to just, having conservative treatment with medications. So she's end up with a hip replacement. In fact, she became a spokesperson for a hip replacement in young.
Wow. Okay. I think another thing I wanted to ask you is that the research or studies show that osteoarthritis amongst the young, it seems more prevalent amongst women. Do we know why?
Yes. In fact, throughout the life, the lifespan, women is higher tendency to have osteoarthritis, be it in rheumatoid arthritis, be it in osteoarthritis. In fact, if you are above 50 years old, the statistic says that 1 in 5 will have some kind of osteoarthritis for women. 1 in 5 women. And for male, it's 1 in 4. So there is already a preponderance for a female to have more incidence of osteoarthritis. But in elderly person, we understand because men are naturally more active, right?
I don't know about that. Just put the blame on the hormones, Dr. Badrul. Come on. Don't see things like that, because it's going to get you into trouble.
Okay, in general, men, they move a lot. If I correct, again, you refute this, but why female have more incidence, more prevalence of osteoarthritis? It's very difficult to say whether this is due to the hormones, but...
Slaved in the younger years. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but because men is looks to be more involved in activities that reduce, more extreme activities that they know how to avoid injuries, avoid more movement. So, as I said before, movement actually reduce your risk of osteoarthritis. Because the synovial fluid that produced in the joints actually improve the likelihood of your joint, give nutrition to your cartilage, and therefore reduce the wear and tear of your joint.
Mm-hmm. So there are two things happening here. One is we are not moving enough when we're younger. And so do you think that the onset of that is also because of that? We also have people who are obese, which doesn't work either. And we also have a group of people who are terribly athletic, doing a lot of extreme sports in younger years. So we'll come back and find out a little bit more about what does this mean for the younger person as this person does age. If you're already in chronic pain, and we'll come back and talk about what chronic pain is. If this person is already in chronic pain at a younger age, what happens when they're older? How do you manage this going forward? What's the right way? How long are you going to be on medications? Do we have to act fast or be more drastic with interventions when you're early so that you lead a better quality of life in the longer term? Some of those questions we will answer. If you have a question, give us a call. It's 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. It's Health and Living. Dr. Badrul Shah Badaruddin, a consultant orthopedic surgeon at LT Orthopedic Hospital, is on the line with us. We're discussing osteoarthritis among young adults. And LT, if you're wondering what that is, it stands for adding life to years. And naturally, it's all about orthopedics there. Dr. Badrul, we were talking about osteoarthritis. Let me just recap very quickly. It's a degenerative condition. It is caused by wear and tear. Your cartilage wears out, your cartilage usually prevents or protects your joints, and it seems to that in the younger people, this wear and tear seems to be happening earlier on in age. Mostly, we used to talk about osteoarthritis in the elderly in the past, but there is a rising number. Some possible reasons: the fact that we are all overweight or obese. One of it, the incidence in Malaysia is very high. Two, as Dr. Badrul spoke about just now, a lot of us in our younger age are very active, right? Doing a lot of extreme sports and all of that doesn't work to our advantage. You need to move, but too much also, now is not going to be helping very much. And there was one more you spoke about, Dr. Badrul. Is it movement? The weight? It'll come back to me in just a while. We did speak about that just now. When you talk about, let's look at treatment options and how to manage this. Because as I was saying, if you are diagnosed with osteoarthritis when you're young, this means you will be in some kind of chronic pain. You just want to explain what chronic pain really is?
Right. Okay. Maybe I can go back a bit on the woman, why woman.
Are you afraid, Dr. Badrul?
I'm afraid when I go back home, I get, But... the thing is like this. Maybe the statistic now is more women, but in years to come, it will be different because you can see, as you said, a lot more women are becoming involved in a lot of these sporting activities and Zumba, yoga, and all those things, which is,
a good thing.
Good thing, but sometimes can be challenging, okay, coming back to the chronic pain, this young person that comes with a lot of pain in the joints. So usually, if there is an evidence of osteoarthritis already, you know, you have to advise them that this can be a chronic process. Either if they are overweight, then the obvious advice is to reduce weight. I bet you, if you can reduce your weight 20% of what you are, if you come with a joint pain, all the symptoms will automatically will go. So this is very important. But of course, there are other causes, not just overweight. But if the cause is because there is a previous accident or previous injuries, sporting injuries, then you got to address that. Because if, let's for instance, you have a ligament injury when you are 20 years old and your knee has become very unstable, and because of that instability, the knee has become wobbly, and it will cause abrasion to the cartilage every day, every day, every week, every month, and every year. So if you get this 20 at 20 years old and you did not do anything to correct that instability, at the age of 34, your knee will probably look appears like the age of 50.
Wow. Okay.
So because of a constant abrasions, constant, and on top of that, if you have injury to one part of the joint, and after years of, especially the weight-bearing joint, after years, it will affect the other part of the joint. So it becomes more, instead of focal problem, it becomes more global problem of that joint. So, and this is, my advice is, I mean, to see a physician or a doctor or a surgeon to correct this problem, because that is the cause of osteoarthritis in the young. Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of young people, when they do have injuries, we just brush it aside because there's a big chance that we will recover and go back to doing whatever we want without realizing the longer term effects on it. When you said load-bearing joints, are you referring to the knees, hips and ankles, or is there more?
Of course, you can affect the spine as well. You see, if you walk very unsteady, so you will adjust your spine to walk properly, and because of that, you will have a back pain, because there is a joint in the spine called facet joint. So this facet joint is also a synovial joint, which will be degenerated and will have arthritis. So. In fact, if you don't correct your knee or your ankle, you will have a spine problem.
Right.
If you don't correct your spine, you will have knee problems. So these are all interrelated.
So they work in tandem and compensate for each other if it's not addressed.
All right. That is the word, compensation. So if you have a right knee injury, of course, you will have arthritis in the right knee. But in years to come, you will have arthritis of the left knee or the other knee, because of compensation. So subconsciously, your mind will tell you to bear weight, to put more weight on the uninjured knee. So more impact to that uninjured knee will give more degeneration process, and it ends up with arthritis.
So when should, at whatever stage, however young we are, when do you know you need to seek help or get it treated? When you say chronic pain, when is it considered chronic? When it lasts more than 12 weeks or despite treatment and medication? What is the gauge of chronic pain?
Well, it's in young person, even 1 week is long, right? So to say chronic, if someone who have a knee pain, and it recurs after 3 months of medication or 3 months of treatment, this is probably considered as chronic, because this injury or this pain may last very long. In essence, I think more than 3 months should be considered as chronic for a young person.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Badru, I'm going to make a confession here, and sometimes many of us are guilty of it. This is what we will do. We get an injury. I will, on my own, take NSAIDs because I can buy it over the counter. I will ice the area. The pain will go off. I might Google and look at some exercises as to how to strengthen or how to fix it. I will do those exercises. The pain will go away and then fine lah. Does that mean that there could have been some damage which could possibly cause osteoarthritis in the future?
Yes. If you have these recurring issues within a few months, and you must go to see anyone, of us to find out what is the cause that causing this repetitively. So X-ray will do. If there is no normal finding, then you may proceed with ultrasound or even MRI scan. Now this is a new X-rays imaging called EOS imaging, which is a very low dose radiation that you can just go inside the imaging and everything will show whether you have any issues with weight or even deformity in the knee joint.
Wow. So it's, what are you saying? It's better than an MRI, or is it better than an X-ray?
It's better than X-ray, not necessarily better than MRI scan.
Okay.
And it can be done many times. And also, there is MRI scan, right? So in the events that you have persistent pain for 3 months, as it now you say it become chronic. So, and how to treat this is not, again, by NSAID, it's not by your icing it. You must find the problem, right? So the thing is, the problem can be a very small meniscus tear or very small cartilage damage in the joint because of some injury that you had that you didn't notice. So sometimes this small focal injury can resolve on its own, but sometimes it will stay there. And in fact, it will become worse. And you let it happen. And from a small tear, a cartilage tear or small meniscus tear, it becomes a bigger tear if you don't, treat it accordingly early. If you want to do that X-ray, if the X-ray couldn't find anything, then MRI scan. And there is also, sometimes MRI may not show a correct, finding. Then there is another way of looking at this, is by taking some blood and see whether the actual pain is not because of trauma, is because of inflammatory arthritis. So this is where we can actually say, hey, you have rheumatoid arthritis or you have gout. So these are the arthritis in the young. Either you have secondary osteoarthritis or you have rheumatoid arthritis or you have gout. Then this can be tested with blood tests. If you have rheumatoid arthritis, then you should be seen by rheumatologists. If you have gout, then you should see a dietitian or you should see a physician. Of course, orthopedic surgeon will treat gout as well, because they can develop what we call gouty arthritis.
Wow, I didn't know that. You learn something every day. A gouty arthritis. How interesting! What does management of osteoarthritis look like for the young? What is the first line of treatment, and then how do you decide to move to the more aggressive type of treatment? Because as I said, you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life, and you're very young. So what is? How do you manage it for the younger person?
Okay, may I divide this into a non-surgical and, you know, conservative treatment and surgical treatment? Okay, let's go for non-surgical treatment. I would probably, if let's say this is not rheumatoid arthritis or it is not gout, right? This is typically osteoarthritis as a result of either overweight or previous injury or maybe congenital issues. So I will probably start the patients on physiotherapy. Early on, I mentioned movement. Movement is very important for joints. In fact, I have a motto here saying that movement is life and life is movement. So if you do a lot of movement, which is like exercise, physiotherapy of your joint, you can actually reduce the progression of osteoarthritis in any joints, whether be it in the knee, be it in ankle, or be it in a non-weight-bearing joint, which you can have arthritis in the hands. So more exercise, more physiotherapy. Of course, if you have a knee arthritis, you should avoid impact exercises. You should go for non-impact exercises. What are non-impact exercises? Cycling, swimming, maybe yoga is non-impact exercises. If you have knee issues, don't go for those impact, jumping, Zumba, maybe, this is not so good for the weight-bearing joints. Right, so then, of course, we can prescribe as supplements for osteoarthritis. There's no real drugs for this, but supplements there is. Why is this called supplements? Because scientifically, it's not proven. The most common supplement maybe you have heard of is glucosamine.
Yeah.
Right? So glucosamine is basically a protein in the cartilage. So maybe by having taking these supplements like glucosamine will actually give nutrition to this cartilage so that this cartilage will be more firm rather than soft. So it will reduce less abrasion or wear and tear in the joint.
So, but glucosamine is a preventive, something you take to prevent, or would you take it after, even upon diagnosis of osteoarthritis?
I would say better to take it when you have been diagnosed rather than as a preventive. Again, as Mira, it is not proven that this thing will help. But statistically, it does. So there are so many brands in the pharmacy in the market. So not only glucosamine, there are things like collagens and those supplements for the cartilage. The other thing, the next one thing is, of course, we talked just now about lubrication. As you know, synovial fluid is the transport for this nutrition, right, other than blood vessels. But it's also the transport of this nutrition to the cartilage. So the more lubricated the joint is, the better the cartilage is. So, if there is evidence that someone young has osteoarthritis, then and is not improved with these supplements, it's not improved with even oral NSAIDs, as you said, then I will advise maybe with this lubrication injection, which has, most of them, hyaluronic acid, which is actually, if you look at the synovial fluid in the joint, consists of this hyaluronic acid.
Okay. Is it a steroid?
It's not a steroid. Steroid, again, is a different matter. But again, you talk about treatment, right?
Yep.
Acute treatment for this osteoarthritis. Steroid is the best anti-inflammatory. When you have acute attack of inflammation, acute attack of osteoarthritis, which produce inflammation, so these inflammatory products need to be dispersed, need to be removed. So if it's removed by removing the fluid from the joint, and it also you need something to prevent this. That's where you take NSAID, but the best is to inject steroid inside the joint. However, steroid itself can cause a lot of damage to, not to say a lot, I mean it can, if you give it too many times, it can cause damage to the cartilage itself or any structures inside the joint, including the ligaments. So we try not to inject steroid, if possible, to the joints.
Okay. We'll come back and find out about surgery. You've gone through the conservative way of managing osteoarthritis. We'll come back and find out when surgery is actually required. Up next, if you have a question on osteoarthritis in the young, give us a call. It's 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. If you have just joined us, on the line with me, Dr. Badrul Shah Badaruddin. He's a consultant orthopedic surgeon from ALTI Orthopedic Hospital. If you're wondering what ALTI is, it stands for adding life to years. Very much musculoskeletal inclined sort of a hospital. Everything, you know, you need to fix when it comes to your musculoskeletal system. Orthopedic surgeons running around all over the place if you go there. So we're discussing osteoarthritis in the young today. And it's interesting that younger people are being diagnosed with osteoarthritis. What is it? It is the most common form of arthritis. It has to do with wear and tear of the joints. Mostly affects load-bearing joints like your knees, your hips, your ankles. And some of the reasons why this is happening amongst the younger people today is possibly because of obesity and the fact that many of us are overweight. It has to do with people indulging in extreme sports or, you know, overdoing the joints when it comes to sports. So it's interesting, Dr. Badrul, trying to explain to us what are some of the management, how to manage osteoarthritis in the young. And I think my main concern is, you know, you're going to be in pain for a long period of time. Most people are diagnosed in older years. And, you know, you live from 50 onwards. But now if you are being diagnosed at 30 or even 40, you're going to be living longer with osteoarthritis. So what is the best way to manage it? You know, you've gone through conservative ways of managing physiotherapy, exercise being the first one. Of course, non-load bearing, meaning swimming, yoga, cycling, as you have mentioned, Dr. Badrul, physiotherapy being very important. You've spoken about certain types of medications, NSAIDs perhaps could be one possible option. So let's talk about them. And you've also spoken about injections, right? Hyaluronic injections, is that what you spoke about just now?
Yes, hyaluronic acid.
Okay, and then of course the steroid injections that you just spoke about before we left for the break. Let's go into surgery. When is it actually necessary? And this is something nobody wants to do, right? But I'm always thinking about surgery only because you're going to be living longer with this condition. When you're older, sometimes you think, okay, I've lived my life. I am happy. I can manage the pain. I'll do less. But when you're young, you still want to be active. You still want to do the things that you want to do. And not fixing the osteoarthritis may be a problem. What are your thoughts on that?
You're right, Mira. You know, the definitive treatment for osteoarthritis really is joint replacement surgery. That means you replace the cartilage, right? So back in when the total knee replacement was invented, one of the founders of this invention is Sir John Chanley. He only says that joint replacement surgeries are for the 70, for the 65 and 70 years old. Not below that age. So certainly there's a reason for that. Because if you do a joint replacement surgery, it lasts 15 years, maybe 20 years, with a good materials, good technique. So if you do it in a young person, you will have revisions in your lifetime. So this is what we want to avoid. So of course, medicine has evolved, right? So in the early 70s or 80s, we have this minimally invasive surgery, which is called arthroscopy, where we can go inside the joint and treat this the problem in the joint. So maybe for the youngish person who have osteoarthritis, we can actually go and do an arthroscopy and clean up the joint, and you know, maybe patch up with a few synthetic material that can actually, you know, help or reduce this progression of osteoarthritis.
You know, Dr. Badrul, I always imagine that there's a sponge. If you imagine a sponge between, you know, your joints, I imagine that sponge drying up and then wearing out. So when you go in, is that what you're doing? You're replacing that sponge and the fluid? Is that what you're doing?
Okay. That is true for joint replacement surgery, remove that sponge.
Mm-hmm.
But for the one I was talking just now, the arthroscopy, if it is a diffuse area, it's very difficult to apply the sponge, right? To apply the cartilage, to apply a synthetic material because it's too diffuse. And it's only true if it's a focal, a small lesion of cartilage that is destroyed. Then we can do that. And that is the limitation of this treatment via by arthroscopy. So that's why by the time the patients who come and see us, it may not be feasible anymore.
Right. So early diagnosis is very, very important.
Yeah. So we can't patch up the cartilage lesion in the diffuse osteoarthritis.
Right.
Of the one part of the joint. So arthritis arthroscopy again is a temporary measures for osteoarthritis. Clean up, maybe patch a little here, a little there, and that's it. But the patient may return again. So the other thing that is now we look into, if this is for the knee and even for the hip arthritis, is to realign the joint. If that joint is, let's say, bent to one side, so because of osteoarthritis, so we can actually realign this joint so that it will mimic the normal one. So when it mimics the normal one, the progression of osteoarthritis may be halted. So, but this needs the bone to be cut, right? Either the femur bone or the tibial bone. If it's in the hip, usually the femoral bone or the acetabular, the hip joint. So it involves realignment of the joint so that it reduces the impact on that arthritic area of the joint, the damaged area of the joint. So this is what we call realignment surgery. Then again, your joint replacement surgery. I must say this is probably the definitive treatment of many osteoarthritis, especially stage 4. And if you do it at a young age, you must do it correctly. And that's why in the event of you want to have a longevity of this implant for the young patient with joint replacement, this is where they invented robotic surgery. So robotic surgery can produce the knee so that it can last longer than if you just do conventionally. This is the idea of robotic surgery for joint replacement surgery.
What does robotic surgery look like? Is it still managing the robot, like Da Vinci, for an example, or it can't be running on its own, right?
Yes. It's a bit different from Da Vinci for your urology surgery. We still have to open up the joint. What we do is that we measure the knee joint, and then we upload the measurement to the computer of the robot, and the robot will determine the bone cut of the joint and also the tension of the ligaments. So you will have a normal tension, like a normal anatomical tension of the joint when we do the surgery with using the robot. Not that we cannot do that conventionally, but it is more, certain with the robot. The other one is also good in the event for the young patient is to do using computer navigation. Not as good as robotic, but it also to get a precision cut for the replacement surgery that we need to do. This is the advent and the new concept in joint replacement surgery.
Fantastic. I mean, does 3D printing play a role as well?
Yes. The 3D printing is important. It's also a coming up and coming thing for joint replacement because, again, we can measure the proper surgical cut for the joint. And this is what we call a patient match surgery, where for all the 2D printing or this measurement is made for that patient, and it will mimic the correct anatomy for that patient. This is what 3D printing is, or patient match instrumentation surgery for joint replacement. So Mira, why they are doing this actually is to lengthen the lifespan of that prosthesis. If you do it at 34, if you use conventional, it may end maybe at 55, you have to do another revision. But with longer longevity, maybe 60 or 65, that's the aim of this new invention.
Okay. Fascinating. It's so exciting. Your carpentry work has gotten much, much more exciting, isn't it, over the years? Would you have a message for us to the younger people on osteoarthritis? Would you have advice? How do you prevent it?
Well, if you involve in extreme sport, do protect yourself. Do a lot of stretching so that you have less injury to your joint. Of course, again, if you are overweight, please reduce your weight because sometimes this weight can cause earlier osteoarthritis. The other thing is if you contracted or if you have an injury when you are young, please remedy it as early as possible before it becomes chronic and develop into osteoarthritis. I always say to my patient, if you have more bad days than good days, do something.
Thank you so very much for joining us. That was, so enlightening. Dr. Badrul Shah Badaruddin, consultant orthopedic surgeon from Alti Orthopedic Hospital, speaking to us about osteoarthritis among young adults. We'll forgive you for everything you said about the women, Dr. Badrul, because, we will forgive because we're forgiving like that. Thank you for joining
us. Thank you.
This is Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.